Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Previously on the VFN Radio program.
I don't know if I ever told you about this time. You know, we mentioned it the other day, and I want to mention it today. I was sent to this call, you know, I used to be a deputy, a law enforcement officer, and I was sent to this call, and the call was there was this house that was in probate, and nobody was living there, and they were waiting for it to go through a process or something. And they said that they thought they heard somebody was in the house. Well, there's no power in the house or anything like that. And so they, for some reason, they sent me out there. Right. It's like, that's scary. You know, like, oh, no, you're the deputy. You're supposed to go
right,
the police.
You're the police.
Every time there was a problem, they always sent me. I don't know what that was. Anyway, so and so here we go. I'm going to this place, and it seems like an older house there, and it's kind of, it looks, it's all dark. It's at nighttime, and I'm standing on the front porch, and you know, and I felt the front door is cracked. It's open. I'm like, oh my goodness, well, somebody could be in this thing. So I didn't shine my light at first. You know, I kind of kept my light down so I can kind of walk into this house to be able to surprise them. So them surprising me.
Right.
And so I got in there and I turned on my flashlight. You have to understand, my flashlight at that time was something they use now, I think, for x-rays. I mean, if somebody thought might have a broken bone, you could put that behind them and look on the other side. You could see if any bone is fractured. It was bright. It was so bright that it almost caught my car seat on fire and my cruiser once. Wow. It was just such a bright light. So anyway, so I come in there and all of a sudden, y'all want to surprise me. Like, bam, turn my light on, right? And when I turn my light on, cockroaches, man. Cockroaches. Ugh. Like 2 inches, 3 inches, 6 foot wingspread. I mean, these things were huge.
Oh,
and there was
gosh.
Like, there was just hundreds of them. And they just flew right to me like I was Velcro and went, you know, and I had a short sleeve shirt on, man.
Oh, no.
And they have like pointy, like needle legs and stuff. And
Fangs.
That's like your best friends, right?
It's not time to talk about your phobia. And you know, and so you know, I'm covered in roaches. In roaches. And I'm supposed to be the calm, cool police. I'm here to rescue you.
Yeah. You are the police.
Terrified. I was police. And so I was terrified. Oh my goodness, you know. And so you don't know whether somebody's in there with a gun. You don't know what's going on. You got roaches crawling up your pants legs and in your sleeves, in your ears. You know what I'm saying? This is horrific.
You're the police.
And listen, for people, our listeners that are not living in the southern parts of America, you haven't seen a roach till you've seen one down south.
No doubt.
It's as big. It's like a big, huge bay leaf or bigger.
It's like an airplane.
It really is. The wingspread will blow you away. And so needless to say, I felt inside of me there was a need that I needed to expedite my search of this house and get out of this house.
And escape.
I went through the house so fast. And what happened was transients, I guess, had come in there, kids or whoever, and they were sleeping on the floor on a mattress in that.
Oh,
but
wow.
There was open peanut butter jars and all that. And roaches were just everywhere.
Ugh.
Oh my goodness, man! I ran out of there, and they're crawling up your short sleeve shirts. They're going right up your arms and down the back of your neck and stuff. And, oh, it was just horrific. I'm glad I didn't shoot the place up. It wouldn't have done no good.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, I can imagine it. And so, oh, that no,
yeah.
And so
that was another time.
I ran out of there, obviously, in a real cool way. And I didn't know. I didn't know where I wanted to get in my cruiser, because I know they're gonna have roaches in my cruiser, right? Because they're all over me, and so I'm shaking clothes out, doing all kinds of stuff.
Did you
have to
strip search yourself?
All right. I was getting them out. And that was horrific.
Ugh.
That was horrific, you know. And I remember when I was young, when I first got my understanding of roaches, and maybe Chris has a story here. It looks like he has one.
Oh.
That I was 5, and Dad had this walking cane. He got this cane from the insurance company. It's like an insurance company gives you a cane. I never thought about that. Not a good thing if you think about it, spiritually speaking. It's like, what are you trying to tell me? Anyway, mm-hmm. He gave me all these awards. He did really real good insurance, and mm-hmm. so having this long cane that was curled or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this, they had built onto the house, closed in a garage. Mm-hmm. And there was this, you know, during those days, paneling was the thing.
Yeah, I know.
Ooh.
I don't know what happened, but paneling was a thing. And there was this cockroach that got in there on the wall in the back of this room, you know. And so I was like, because I was confident. It crawls around and stuff like that, you know. And it was to me, I mean, you know, 5 years old, it looked like it was probably about, you know, 2 inches long and, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. And so I had that cane, you know, and, you know, 5-year-olds, you know, we're like, you know, trying to see if frog legs stay on when you pull on them. And
very intelligent, right?
The fly wings come off. Can you fly with one wing? Different things that kids do. And so I'm poking at this cockroach. I'm poking at this cockroach, you know, for all the PETA listeners out there.
With the cane.
Oh, well. Anyway, so I'm poking at this thing, thinking, yeah, you know, I'm bigger than you, and I'm poking this cane. But I didn't realize, my knowledge and my wisdom has not yet expanded to all the things that these big, huge Southern Florida roaches can do. And all of a sudden, this crawling roach that was on this paneling wall decided, okay, I'm not going to crawl anymore. I'm going to spread my 6-foot wingspread. I'm going to fly over to whoever's holding this cane, and I'm going to land on his shoulder. Oh, my gosh. You're talking about squealing. Oh, this 5-year-old squealed and ran the whole length of that place. Oh, my goodness. I want to encourage you. Pest control is from the Lord. From the Lord. You look at a phobia. You like them?
Oh, roaches. We don't get along.
You know?
I've got a similar story of being attacked by a roach.
You got attacked too, huh?
Oh, wow. Man. But I was, you know, probably
16?
Like 25?
Actually, I was older. I was about 26, really. No, I was, you know, growing up as a kid.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. Growing up as a kid, you know, we would go to our grandmother's house, you know, all the time, and she had a really bad...
Yeah.
Roach problem.
Lots of oak trees.
And so
they live under
edit
oak trees.
Edit that. Okay.
Anyway.
So yeah, at night, you know, I was always afraid of a cockroach crawling into my ear, up my nose, in my mouth, you know, because they were they were everywhere.
Oh, and my goodness.
You were for the mission field. You're going to go to the mission field. You're right.
And so, you know, later on in life.
Instead,
when I was,
he got hairballs.
Yeah. I was, you know, later on when I was living in the house, there was one particular night where there was a cockroach in the kitchen, and it was this biggest cockroach I'd ever seen. Like you said, it was 2-3 feet long. And
did it have a saddle?
Oh, yeah. And I went to swat this thing
in my kitchen.
And it flew off. I mean, it came like right towards my face.
Were you smoking your Bible about that time? This might not have actually happened. We don't
right,
know, right?
You could have hallucinated it.
Yeah. And so I ducked this cockroach, and it lands on top of this shelf. And so so I turn around, and I'm going towards this roach to swat it, and this thing stands up on its hind legs.
Oh, wow.
I'm serious. This thing stood up and just flew at me again. And I screamed.
It flipped me again?
And I screamed like a little banshee.
It flipped
you know?
Him. It flipped a 26-year-old man. It's cockroach flipped him.
No, wow. Flew at me.
Oh, flew at you. At least no. I flipped him.
Wow. That's a big roach, bro.
It could have been like this, too. I don't know.
It was a big roach.
So. Yeah, right. On drugs. No,
but that was, yeah.
And then it spoke to you, right?
No, it didn't speak. I spoke. I screamed like a little girl. I screamed.
Well, okay. This is the last cockroach segment. You know, and, you know, there's just different things. You know, I've been to Jersey and seen some stuff, been to New York, and I saw that. I said, oh, what's that, a dog? They go, no, that's the rat. That's a rat. And so I was in a hospital. I was in a hospital because somebody was there in the hospital, and I wanted to stay the night. They don't design hospital furniture for you to be there. I mean, they intentionally, they have psychologist designing furniture to just poke you in a certain way that you'll go home mm-hmm. and not stay in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And they mopped their carpets. They mopped their carpets in the hospital. And so anyway, so there was a coffee pot and there was like this waiting room, whatever, down from the room that I was staying there. And just staying there. Actually, it was Donna's mom that we were there. And I just wanted to stay close to Donna and her mother. And I said, well, I'm just going to stay here in this waiting room and kind of somehow lay between on the arms or something. You know, it's just really uh-huh. tough to do. And I'm laying there wide awake with an armrest in my back. Mm-hmm. Now, and I look at the coffee pot. And over the coffee pot, this is in a hospital. Mm. You know, it's in a hospital. I look up. And is one of these huge roaches that he's talking about. I'm over the coffee. I'm like, you know me, I don't have like 30 cups of coffee.
Oh, no.
I'm like, ugh. And so I'm laying there and I'm thinking, you know, because we were in this daze because we've been awake for like, you know, weeks. And it seems like, and so I'm thinking, you know, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm looking at it. Then all of a sudden, and what Chris said reminded me of it. This, you're thinking, you know, you think you know how things happen, you know, and you're looking at it and you're in and out and what's going on. It's like, you know, as long as it stays way over there, I will not have coffee again ever anywhere in the vicinity of this place.
Oh my gosh.
And then it literally bows up. It leans back. It leans back now. It's on the wall. So it's on a wall. Its feet are touching the wall. Its back feet, because it had a whole bunch of them. And then its front feet came off. You got to get this. You got to get this now. And then it took its neck and its head and looked around the room. It looked around the room.
Oh, my God.
I levitated off that seat, man. Like, boom, I am out of here. I am going home. Lord, we'll just trust this thing with
goodness.
That. It looked around the room. It looked at me. I'm like, oh, my gosh. What's happening? Roaches are mutating. What are we doing? What is this coming from? So...
Oh,
you
my
know,
goodness.
It is, you know, it's pretty amazing. These big Bay Meadow type bugs, they call them, but palmetto bugs. And,
those are big.
Okay. We haven't had Jersey
oh, really?
Roach yet.
Are you serious?
Jersey roach yet. Now they're not as big, but this, maybe this would be
those
the
are
last
called
one.
Ants.
Maybe this,
these are ants.
Maybe this would be the last roach ants. Story. Okay. I remember my parents, this is when I was, younger, maybe about 5-6 years old. Maybe not older than that. I don't know. Just young kid at the time.
How tall were you then?
I don't know. Not that, probably almost the same size now. But
that's right.
But
you got that tricycle? That tricycle.
Well, this beautiful couple actually that led my parents to the Lord. They actually were come visiting my parents at the house for dinner.
Oh,
okay,
no.
you got to get this
of
so.
All the times for you to come out, Roach.
So you know this is a wonderful.
If your mother's
couple.
Listening, she's so, dying right yeah. now. For saying this.
No, my mom is a spotless person. When you live in an apartment building, if your neighbors got roaches, it doesn't matter. You gonna have roaches. They leave one apartment, come to the next. But she's spotless, still is spotless type person, and cleaning, you know, doing her thing, and so this couple is there, and I remember the this couple were so nice, it was just so proper, and I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, just you know, they actually came to our apartment and they're eating dinner with us, and it was a huge deal. So I get up, you know how you're acting, is like trying to be on my best behavior, and I'm picking up plates.
That
and
had
doing
to be
stuff.
Hard. That had to be hard for you.
Oh, my goodness. Very hard. So I'm, you know, doing my thing. And all of a sudden, I see this woman talking to my parents. And I see this roach on the back of her neck.
Oh, no. Wait. Where is it?
On the back of her neck.
Oh, my goodness. Did she bring it with her?
So I'm a kid. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. There's a roach on her neck.
Oh, no. Your mom. No, out loud. Your mom was like, thank you, John Paul.
If you could have seen their eyes. And she's getting up and she's patting her back and running around. It was hilarious. I'm sure my mom doesn't even remember that story, but it was hilarious.
Oh, I'm sure she does.
Awesome friends, and they knew him for many years. But that was something else, man. That was something else.
Can you imagine? She probably went home and thought, well, we're just in the mission field, honey.
We're just reaching out to them. We're just trying to be nice to these people.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my goodness. We'll be right back in a moment.
John, check it out. I was going out to eat last week.
Uh-huh.
And I got to sit down at my table, you know, setting up my napkin. And this girl, she just starts running up and down at the different tables. And she's like, hey, do you have the Find My iPhone app? I'm like, the what? She's like, you know, the app where if you lose your iPhone, you can find it. And I'm like, well, that kind of doesn't do you any good if you lose your iPhone. She's like, no. I use your phone to find my phone. And I was like, oh, they got an app for that? She goes, yeah, they got an app for that. I was like, oh, okay. Well, it was a cool thing. Like, as we started talking and she started telling me about the app I needed to get. So I got that app and I go, well, check it out. There's an app that you need to get. And she's like, really? I go, yeah, there's an app. VFNTV.com. And she's like, well, how do I get to that? I said, you can go right on Android or you can go on iTunes and type in VFNTV.com. Start telling her about the VFN radio, the daily radio program, everything that God's doing, God's news behind the news, the top three segments. You've got all the live programming. There's an app for that. And we start talking. She's like, wow, there's an app for that. I says, yep, check it
out. There's an app for that.
VFNTV.com.
If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, these people are just way too perfect for me to come around them, then you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And you know, I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
John, have you had a chance to check out Vine Fellowship Network at University?
Yes, I have.
Oh my goodness. VFNU. I just want to encourage you that, you know, if you have received Jesus in your life and you want to know more, and you feel that God is just calling you to go deeper in him, to just, you know, there's a call upon your life. You know, there's a reason that you're a part of this generation and you're asking yourself, how? If you're asking yourself, how do I do this? I just want to encourage you, go and check out vfnu.org. You know, God's got a plan for your life and you play an integral part of this generation. You play an integral part and God has a plan to use you. And you can find out more of what God has in store for you. Find out more at vfnu.org.
Previously on the VFN radio program.
I was just in Philadelphia not long ago, and I actually had a chance to see the house that Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. Now, you got to see this. You're in downtown Philadelphia, okay?
Get out of Dodge.
There's buildings everywhere. There's people walking all over the place. And right on the corner, you would have passed it up, is this little old house in between a couple of buildings. Actually, one building's on a corner. And there it was. I'm like, look, Elijah, look. This is very important. This is historic. He's like, where, Dad? I'm like, right here. Right. The Declaration of Independence was actually written by Thomas Jefferson. And pretty cool.
Isn't it amazing, though? I mean, we so look at history by our present day. We try to define where we were by where we are. But the truth is, we can only define where we are by where we've been. You know, you got to find out our history. And so we end up changing our history, trying to adjust it to our present day. And that's what they're trying to do in America, right? Many people are trying to say, that's all outdated. And even though it gave them the right to be able to say it's outdated, you know, that, you know, it needs to be changed, even though it gave them the right to stand in leadership, you know, to say it could be changed. You know, it is it's the very thing that the U.S. Constitution, Declaration of Independence, they just said, listen, it's just time. We just believe it's self-evident that all men are created equal. You know what I'm saying? And that, you know, King, you know, you're not God. The church shouldn't have been merged together in the first place with the government. You know, it's not a separation of church and state so that the church will stay out of the state. It's separation of church and state, so the state will stay out of the church. Because this is the problem. Listen to this. This is the problem. The problem is we've got to quit defining the church by what we've created it to be in our own eyes and men, because the church is people. But as long as if you let somebody define you and define the church different than what God said, then all of a sudden now you're like a club, a Rotary Club or something. Nothing is Rotary Clubs, but the fact is that, you know, they see you as an institution. They see you as a building. They see you as a corporation, and they see you in the all together in this organization versus the individual who is a believer. So if we are the church, if believers are the body of Christ, to say a government that's by the people and for the people, to say the separation of the church from the state is to separate the people from the state. Hence, you cannot separate the people from the state if we live by the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. But you can separate the state from the church, that they cannot make any laws concerning the church. It's the First Amendment rights. You know, when I was Mary and Blake and Amber this on the beach out there this weekend, that, you know, we used to say, you know, by the power, you know, we brought in the government. It's like, what are we doing? Right. Oh, my goodness. The truth is, you know, because of God, because of the call of God on my life, because of the church, and because what God says about marriage, and because the government recognizes that with the U.S. Constitution by the First Amendment, I hereby have authority under God to marry you. It has nothing to do with the state. The state does not give you authority to marry somebody. If you're at the church, it's you being the church. It's what you do. And you marry and you counsel and you walk with and you disciple and you encourage the church, which are people. You don't encourage a building. What's nice shutters today? I really like your shutters. Did you ever think about
steeple?
And that's pretty nice. Nothing against steeple. I got a good friend that's a steeple. I'm not, you know, this is, you know, you think about it. When you talk about the church, so many people identify with buildings that they can get offended by it. And, you know, like Steve Hill said, you know, we talked on Friday, you know, not to be offended. We're for the church wherever it gathers, whatever it is in, whatever it is not in, because the people are the church.
That's right.
You know, the outside does not make the inside. It's what's on the inside of that gathering that actually makes the church. And so you can paint a big building and put people in it that are not the church, and it's not the church. But you can actually put, you can be in an auditorium, for example, that all kinds of things happen in the auditorium. And, but when the church comes and gathers together, what's inside of that building, the auditorium, is the church. The auditorium didn't become the church. What we're talking about when we say the church, we're talking about the people gathered in there. That's why we don't have to worry about where we go as the church, because we're the church wherever we go.
How can you go, you know, to what you are?
How can you go to what you are? All you can truly do is be. So, well, you know, we joke around about that, but the thing is that, you know, you're the church. But the thing about that, when you know you're the church, it's like, that means the word of God applies to me. It applies to me. And that is, it drives you to the cross. It literally brings you to the reality of our desperate need for a Savior.
Right.
You know, but when it's not you and it's that building, you can say all kinds of things, or you think it's a board of directors, or you think it's somebody's good idea, or you think it's been something that's passed down for generations versus somebody who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I mean, you can be in a 3-piece suit and a tower and in New York and be the church, part of the church, or you can be, you know, plowing fields in your little small garden in China with wearing one of your 2 sets of clothes. And you can be the church. They're equal. As a matter of fact, the one who's plowing the field may be of higher esteem in the kingdom of God, mm-hmm. in the eyes of God, right?
Yeah.
And so we can't define ourselves in America. We got to redefine or go back and go for the original 10 of who we are as the church. If we hang on to redefining ourselves outside what God says that we are, you know, it's gonna crumble. It's gonna, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, you know, I wasn't going to share this, you know, till tomorrow, but I think I want to share it now because I remember the movie Patriot. Do you remember the movie Patriot?
Oh, yeah.
Was that with Mel Gibson, Pat?
Yeah, it sure was.
Okay.
Yeah, that was with Mel Gibson. And that in that movie, you know, and I always encourage everybody that when you're watching a movie as a believer, you know, you can get something as simple as what's called clear play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool because when you put a DVD into it or whatever they're called, you know, Blu-rays or whatever, it just removes things that you don't want to see or you don't want to hear. So I can't vouch for what's all there in the context of that. But what, you know, in that moment, there's a moment in there. Mm-hmm. We're talking about separation of church and state. In that moment, remember that we signed our Declaration of Independence on the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we did that, we said that this is just not right, mm-hmm. that you can't, you know, your form of government and mixing the church together and all of that is just not right.
Right.
And because if you leave the church, the Church of England, they considered it treason. It was treason because they merged the two.
Right.
They merged the two. And I got so many things to share with you. You got to stay tuned to VFN Radio. We're going to talk to you about, you know, they're digitizing every member of India right now, 1.2 billion members, wow. population, and everybody, fingerprints, digital print, online print. So listen, we are getting there right now, and we got to wake up. America, listen, we have a unique thing that God gave us. You know, and this panicking and bringing in things like the Patriot Act and different things that are surrendering all the things to one big, huge database, you know, it's gonna challenge what we're doing. But anyway, so they considered it was treason because so the king or the queen or the king was over the church.
Right.
So mm-hmm. for you to come to America, you know, and be a part of the colonies and all that was going on, and for you to preach the gospel as it's written in the Word of God, they considered you as part of the problem.
Mm. Wow.
They considered it treason. And in the movie, there's a segment in the movie where they go off to be able to fight for America. And these are our founding fathers, you know. And when they do that, there's a small little town where Mel Gibson's son had found a wife that he was betrothed to, and he was going to come back and marry her, I guess, after mm-hmm. This battle. And so they go away. When they go away, the British, the Redcoats, came in, the ones who are loyal to the king, the ones who are loyal to the mindset of church and government go together. Mm-hmm. That was their loyalty. They were not loyal to what we would call the First Amendment mm-hmm. day, separation. And they were so together that they could look at those who were not in the Church of England, even though they had a Bible in their hand, even though they preached the Word of God accurately, and they could call them somebody was in treason.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wild?
Wow.
You know, we just don't get, that's the reason why the First Amendment's there. And so they have one of their own that joined the Redcoats, you know, that was there. And it's his own, he's coming into a town on horseback. And they're coming in, they're trying to find, you know, Mel Gibson and all the guys that are fighting for the freedom for America, some of the patriots. And then here he is, he's faced with, because the leader of that army turned to him, one of their own, who was riding with them. So now he's not their own. Hmm. And he said, I want you to burn it down. He says, burn down their houses? And he's like, no, burn down the church, burn down everything. And he looks at them like, oh, no. But he had to make a choice. And let me tell you, if you're riding with the Redcoats, mm-hmm. if you're hanging out with those who are not hanging out with God and the U.S. Constitution, it seems okay now, but there's going to be a day they look at you and they're going to demand loyalty from you over what God says.
Mm.
Anyway, so he looks at him and he gives him that look like, this is my family and my friends. These are people that I know. How can I do that? And he decides to do this. He decides to do what they said and burn down his own people. Listen to this. Listen, this is it. It's about 2 minutes.
Ready to fire the town on your order, sir.
The town? Burn the church.
There's no honor in this.
Didn't you say all those who stand against England deserve to die a traitor's death? Burn the church, Captain.
Give me the torch.
He's going towards the church right now with a torch in his hand while the members of the church are gathered in a small country church building. He's thinking. He throws the torch. They're slamming the shutters. They're surrounding the church with flames and fire. The building. Smoke's coming under the door. They're screaming for their very lives.
The honor is found in the end, not the means. This will be forgotten.
He looks back at his friends and his family burning in the church building. The flames are pouring out from the walls. They're trying to break out, but they can't. They're screaming. They're turning to each other. They know this is it. It's engulfed in flames. He looks back, the one who truly committed treason, who threw the first torch. And they march away. While the church is burned. Not the building, the people who were in the building. And the only thing that's left is rubble, ashes. It's gone. The First Amendment is there because of that very reason. We're so far gone from how it all happened and how it came to pass that we're forgetting that they gave their lives so that we could preach the gospel and the good news, and that when righteous people are when people who love God are thriving and the nation is blessed, but when wicked rulers rule over it, the people groan, is what he says in his word. Mm. And that you understand that the church, not the buildings, but the people are an enemy of darkness. They're your very existence. You're not liked and you can't negotiate with evil.
That's right.
You know, we're going to lay down our lives and we will turn the other cheek and all those different things. But right now we have the First Amendment to the Constitution. When they signed the Declaration of Independence, they didn't know if they would live beyond the night.
Mm.
They didn't know if they would be hung in the gallows that night. But they knew it was right. They knew it was right. They knew it was right. And we're living today in this nation in the freedom that we have because men knew it was right. They had a conviction of what was right. There is no conviction hardly anywhere. It's just like a jellyfish, you know what I'm saying? You see a jellyfish, and we've seen a lot of those, you know, diving. And it's like they just go wherever the current leads them, you know? And you just don't know where they're going to go. But we're called to stand for truth. You know, for people, for, you know, as Americans, for America, for the Constitution. Listen, as I say often, the president swore to uphold the Constitution and protect it from his enemies, foreign and domestic. The Senate and the Congress swore to uphold the Constitution and protect it from enemies, foreign and domestic. The judiciary branch has done the same thing. You know, our governors, our soldiers, citizens are being sworn in, and it's like, but can we stand for what's right? Are we willing to take a stand for the issues and the values of what's right? Listen, standing up, think about it. Standing up for what your country is made up of in regards to the Constitution, this is how we operate. How could that be wrong?
Right.
It can only be wrong if you believe it's wrong and it needs to be changed. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be changed. We need to be changed.
All right.
Mm. You know, one of the issues is that, of course, is that the church is trying to do the same thing with the Word of God. I don't believe that if we keep denying the sovereignty of God and keep removing His acknowledgement and His name and His commandments and, you know, all these different areas where we're acknowledging God, if we keep removing Him from those areas, we're not going to have a sovereignty of America. It's just not going to be anymore. I mean, why would God continue? Because He's the one that uplifts nations and He's the one that brings them down.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, that if a nation, you know, and you can hear about this on, I believe, the Elijah Storm on VFNTV.com. And there's a whole bunch of things there for you. Just go to VFNTV.com and you can subscribe for free and begin to listen to these prophetic words. But He says if He decides He wants a nation to rise up, which He did for America, it will. But if they do evil and He sends things to us to warn us and to turn and we don't turn, mm-hmm. He removes the nation.
Wow, that's right.
There's no, I mean, every, I mean, look at the progression of history. I mean, nations rise and nations fall. Kingdoms come and kingdoms go, but God's kingdom's for
ever
and ever. And so how could it be wrong for you to, first of all, know the Constitution and stand up for it? You know, we're focusing at this moment on, you know, the Declaration of Independence, the, you know, who we are as Americans, and understand as the church, you know, us that are believers, not buildings, organizations, we got to quit letting things divide us and say, you know, we want to unite us, but we can't unite around a doctrine outside of the Word of God. It's got to be doctrine of the Word of God. Jesus has to be the center of it. The Son mm-hmm. of God has to be the center of it.
That's right.
And humility in the context of we can't do this outside of Him and what His sacrifice is on the cross, but with Him we can do it as we surrender our lives to Him and obey Him and follow Him in that area. But
we'll be right back in a moment.
You know, John, I think back on, you know, when I was just going to tradition, and I felt like I was just going through the motions. You know, just go spend an hour and then just continue on in my day like I was continually doing. When I met the VFN family and God encountered me, I wanted to tell everybody. And it seemed that I really didn't know how to express it and make it understandable. And we have the Vine Seminar to be able to share with others what God is doing by being the church, just being healthy family centered around Jesus. You know, and if you're interested and you want to find out more, go to vineseminars.org and read about it. See what God is doing. And if this feels connected to you and you feel like there's something more and that you're searching for God, find out more at vineseminars.org.
Pat.
Yes.
Technology is amazing the way things are going, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are just so, we get, you know, things are moving so quick. You remember, you used to have to, I don't know if you remember dialing the phone?
Yeah.
The dial?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you mess up like on the seventh number or something, sixth number. It's like, oh, man, they have 3 8s or zeros in their number. It's like, oh, my mm-hmm. goodness. You love those like 1 2 2 1. You probably don't even know what we're talking about. You know, a lot of the generations listen. But listen, you know, people text today, and the text sends a text message, and it goes all the way to China.
Right.
And it lasts, I don't know, it takes about 6 seconds to get there. And we go, hurry up. You know? Isn't that crazy?
I know.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, think about this. You can subscribe to VFN TV. It's free to subscribe, and you can have access to everything. And, of course, we want you to have everything, you know, by texting.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually take your phone and text, if you can text the letters V as in Victor, VFN TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's VFN TV to the number 22828. Did you know that? You text, this is how simple it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's that quick.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can text VFNTV to the number 22828, and it'll walk you through a few little simple processes. And next thing you know, you'll be fully subscribed, and you can log in to all the wonderful things that are available for you on at VFNTV.com and on your Android phones and your Apple phones and your iPads, and I don't know all the things going on there. That's just so neat, isn't it?
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it's
very cool. Just text VFNTV to the number 22828. That's VFNTV to the number 22828. You know, I just want to say this before we go in this first hour. You know, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney, you know, began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get you know, men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. What was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, you know, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today. And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people. All across the nation, we've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So and with Reverend Billy Graham, who's did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Previously on the VFN radio program.
You know, ABC News went out and talked to Christians that were coming out of their churches, and they started asking them simple questions. Just simple, simple questions. And they also did in an article after that, you know, finding out that there's atheists, agnostic atheists, I mean, I wouldn't call them pastors, but they're pastors, you know, over God's people. And they're saying things like, and I'll tell you more about it, but first, listen, we had to go back. This is how far we've left from the original intent. We need to rethink it. And when we rethink it, we have to look at the Word of God and begin to pray. Don't rethink it outside the Word of God, the Bible. But listen to what this interview, this is an interview with Diane Sawyer.
So what's your religious IQ? For specific facts, the Pew Forum asked 3,400 Americans some facts about the religions of the world, testing their specific knowledge on a battery of questions, Mormons, Muslims, atheists, and evangelicals. Which group do you think did the best? Dan Harris administers four of the key questions in our pop quiz.
America is one of the most religious countries on earth, but today's new poll shows that many of us struggle to answer basic questions about faith, even when we've just left Mass.
Will you tell me the names of the first four books of the New Testament of the Bible, that is the four Gospels?
Mark, John, Matthew.
No, I don't know them.
You just went to Mass?
Yes.
You don't know the four Gospels?
No.
So what are the four Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and fewer than half of Americans got it right.
In fact, out of 32 questions on this pop quiz from the Pew Forum on religion and public life, Americans got on average 16 right.
Do you happen to know the name of the holy book in Islam?
Quran. Oh, good job.
Right.
The highest scorers, atheists and agnostics, who got nearly 21 questions right on average, as compared to white evangelical Protestants, who scored an average of 17.6, and Hispanic Catholics, who got an average of 11.6 questions correct.
What's the first book in the Bible?
Genesis.
Where, according to the Bible, was Jesus born?
Jerusalem.
Bethlehem.
Oh, yeah. That's embarrassing.
Church leaders we spoke to today said they found the apparently low Bible literacy troubling.
We need a church that's strong, that knows its own holy book, and that is living according to it.
The survey's authors say the poll does not mean that Americans are not serious about their faith, but church leaders say it may mean it's now time to get back to basics. Dan Harris, ABC News, New York.
Think about that. These are people walking out the doors of what we call the church, and the highest scorers of knowledge was people who deny God.
Mm-hmm.
The highest scores of people who knew more about God were the people who deny him. And the people who say, we're demanding, you know, all these things from government. We're demanding, you know, lower taxes and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, and we're saying we need to hold to the Constitution. We need to keep the Ten Commandments. But, you know, based on what we're seeing, if you don't know what, you know, if you think March is one of the first four Gospels of the Bible.
March.
She said March.
Oh, my God.
That you don't know the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And realize that you're entering into a battle that's not going to be good. This condition of the church. You make sure that gets on the blog. Make sure that gets, we want to get that available. We'll put that on the VFNTV blog for you so that you can see that interview yourself. But this is not good. You know, we're demanding America to live by a constitution, which I bet you, you know, until all this started going on, I never really studied it or looked at it much myself. But when everything started happening, I thought, I've got to find out, you know, what we're about to lose. And when you study the Constitution, you find out, you know, what, you know, how we got here and why everything happens the way it happens. Well, when you study the Word of God, you find out how we got here and how everything happens, and that creation happened outside of America,
mm-hmm.
and it'll continue to go. But now we have, you know, in an article on November the 9th of 2010, they're interviewing a pastor of a Southern Baptist church, and he says, and this is not in the regards to Baptists, this is just what's happening. His name is Jack, and he says, I am an atheist. You know, and should interview should end there. It's like, okay, leave, you know? But the whole thing, we called the building the church. It says mm-hmm. we called the building the church. People like that, these wolves in sheep clothing, can come in there because we didn't realize we're the church. And so when you call the building the church, we can be in any building we want to be in. It's no big deal, but the building. I mean, hopefully a nice one that's air-conditioned. But understanding that, but since we identified, you know, some sort of brick-and-mortar and organization as the church, wolves like that can come in and move through the hierarchy of leadership.
And people have no idea.
And people don't have a clue because it's an organization, because it's a building. But when you're the church and you start applying the word of God to you and you abide with God, and when you hear somebody talk about God that knows God, your spirit says, amen, it bears witness. That's what that means. But if you're not talking to God and you're not in the word of God, you know, there's a chance you might not even know him. You may be very religious like the Greeks were when Paul was talking to him. And you can know him today. Go to meetmyfather.org. But this guy, he says, I am an atheist. His name is Jack, Southern Baptist for about 20 years in ministry. It's just, I hate that they integrate all that. You infiltrated the church for 20 years, sir. That's what you did. You're not in
you're
ministry.
A spy.
You know, we talked about, you know, Satan, he says, Satan masquerades as an angel of light. No wonder his servants masquerade as angels of righteousness. That's what he says. And so here he is. He's over people in the name of the Lord. And he says, you know, I live out my life as if there is no God. This is another one Adam says, who is another minister, who is part of a pastoral staff of an evangelical church, the Bible Belt, he says. He goes on to say in this particular article, he said that it was difficult to continue to work. It has been difficult to continue to work in ministry. You know, I just look at it as a job. And I do what I'm supposed to do, he said. I've done it for years. Sir, you need to leave the church. And church, you should identify that person. And you should remove, they're not the church. See, this is the whole thing. I'm probably rocking your rocker, I know. But listen, the church is a people. We're the building of Christ. If you're a believer, the kingdom of God is within you. People really can't join the church. You can only recognize that they are the church, and then you can come together. Mm-hmm. You recognize they're a believer by their fruit, mm-hmm. by their love for God. They might be a young believer and still, you know, into a lot of crazy stuff, but they love God and they're on their journey to God. I'm not talking about that, but I'm just talking about you can't really join a church. I mean, you can get saved and become the church in regards to the part of the body of Christ. And then when somebody says, you know, how did you meet Jesus? And you start talking about how you met the Lord, then they're finding out that you are the church, and then you're going to relate to that body of Christ. So if you ask your pastor, how did you meet Jesus? And he or she's either going to lie to you, or these particular two guys would sit here and say, well, I don't know him. And just calmly know, just calmly say, you need to get your cardboard box. You know, you need to head on out. That's just horrific. Mm-hmm. That's a special place in hell for those people who would do that in the name of God. And what's the sad thing is that the church has been so untaught the word of God and undiscipled that, and some of the statistics we'll be talking about, the majority of pastors said that they have not been well-trained. Seminary didn't train them well enough for ministry, that they're facing the problems they're facing, and that most of them have no discipleship teaching program or just moment in their gatherings. None at all. Not one. And so he goes on and said, he and Jack said that when speaking to parishioners, they try to stick to the sections of the Bible that they still believe in. The parts of the Bible being a good person. And when you start hearing somebody talk about they're focusing on good, you know, when we say, you know, you can even hear it at VFNTV.com. Even nobody. Jesus said, who are you calling good? The only one as good as God. Mm-hmm. So really, them focusing on good is focusing on self versus focusing. Because if you can't deny good, they're denying good, they're denying God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Denying God, they're denying good. But both said that they would like to leave their jobs, but they just can't afford to. So they're in it for the money. Just like Steve said, he says, see, there's people coming and they're looking for, this is Steve now, Steve Hill's ministry. They're looking for a salary package. And he goes, he's not lettuce. It's not, they're talking about a salary package.
What are you going to give me?
What are you going to give me? You know? And it's like, what have we done? Do you remember? We won't bring that up. Anyway, and he goes on to say this, I want to get out of the position that I am in as quickly as I can because I try to be a person of integrity and character. Adam says, look about this. He says, I want to get out of this position that I'm in as quickly as I can because I want to be a person of integrity and character. Think about it. Mm-hmm. Leave then.
Right.
Leave then as if you can do that outside of God. With the economy the way it is, with a lack of marketable skills, with only a seminary education, it has me in a tough spot. No, dude, it's going to have you in a hot spot if you don't repent.
Right.
And let the people there. So he even goes on, Jack goes on and talks about that he says that his secret, he said this, he said that his secret left him feeling isolated, but that he would certainly lose a lot of friends in his profession if he actually told him he was no longer a Christian.
It was just like the rich man didn't want to give up anything.
Right.
He's just so focused on everything he has that it's just like, well,
yeah.
His security was in his job. His security was in his salary package.
But he's like, he's saying he speaks for God,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then people believe him, and then just follow whatever he's teaching.
So he's saying that people who love Jesus aren't going to like him no more when he says that I don't love him, but I'm going to teach you about him.
Mm-hmm. And the hard thing is like you talk to so many people, and the first as soon as you come up to any conversation bringing up Jesus, the first thing they say is, I went to church.
Yes.
I go to, or.
Because that's how right. We were trained for so many years. It's like, we don't take people to Jesus. We take them to church.
We would take them to an address.
We take them to address. And so his wife didn't even know. And he said, he's really concerned about, it's going to be tough for her. Mm-hmm. It's like, how could a wife not know that you're a believer? Right. Think about this. He says, it's a very tough situation. He says, I can't think of another career that is so dramatically affected by the change in one's opinions or thoughts. It's like, yeah, heaven or hell. That's a big change. You went from, living with God forever to now you're actually, it's a dramatic change. Heaven's real and hell is real as well. And he goes on to say that he doesn't understand why it's that way. These guys are over, this is not every pastor, but you understand this, you need to talk to your pastor and you need to talk to Jesus and y'all both need to find out, do you still walk with God? Because these guys once walked with God, but there's a doctrine being taught that if you said a prayer, you always walk with God and you can never leave him, which just contradicts the word of God.
Mm.
I mean, it's not, you don't slide around like in and out, but if you walk in darkness long enough, then you actually buy into darkness and you say things with your mouth and heart that got you into the kingdom, that gets you out of the kingdom. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.